So our text for this morning's meditation is from Galatians chapter 3. These words, this is what I mean. The law which came 430 years afterward does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I suppose that if we were all familiar with a movie starring Charlton Heston, perhaps, a movie called The Promise to Abraham. I suppose that if we were all familiar with a movie called The Promise to Abraham, instead of one called The Ten Commandments, well, we would not have trouble understanding the relationship of Abraham, the promise to Abraham, to the law given to Moses, that we do. And we do. We do have this problem. For Abraham was promised that through his seed, through his offspring, as our translation put it this morning, that is, through Jesus Christ, who would be his descendant, all of the nations of the world would be blessed. That is, they would be rescued through the forgiveness of sin, through life and salvation in Jesus Christ. Abraham, he believed this promise of the coming Savior. And that belief, that faith of Abraham, was credited to him as righteousness. God declared Abraham to be holy, for Abraham believed what God told him about Jesus. Similarly, Eve, as in Adam and Eve, believed the promise made to her by God that her descendant would crush the head of Satan. And so as we read in Genesis, when Cain was born, Eve believed it was the Lord, the one who would crush Satan, Satan who had deceived her and deceived Adam. Well, Abraham believed this promise made to him by God of the seed of Christ. That is, Abraham lived daily on the basis of what God had promised him. Now, fast forward 430 years to the time of the Exodus from Egypt. The descendants of Abraham, the Israelites, and they're camping below Mount Sinai. There, through Moses, they received the law of God. The law which would govern their society and their moral conduct and their worship. Now, did that negate, then, the law given by God on two tablets of stone to Moses? Did the law given by God to Moses for the children of Israel negate the life of faith, faith in the promises of God made to Abraham? No. No, it did not. Did not, and yet we still today can live as though it did. As though our lives today as Christians, those who believe in Christ, the seed, the offspring, are simply governed by a set of rules, and our success in life, our success when it comes to eternal life, is dependent upon how good we become at fulfilling those rules. Why do we do that? Why do we abandon a life lived on the basis of the promise of God to us, that believing in the seed, in our Lord Jesus as our Savior from sin and death and the devil, we live every single day, and instead we turn to the law of Moses to accomplish that for us, our life? Why? Why do we do that? Well, it's easier, isn't it? It's just easier. What? How can living according to the law of God be easier than living daily by faith in the seed promised to Abraham, by living daily by faith in Christ, trusting that our sin is forgiven as he has promised us? Well, first of all, we just like rules, don't we? We like rules because rules give us something to shoot for, to aspire to accomplish. Now, those generally who have succeeded in life have succeeded by following rules. by doing their homework and succeeding in school and at work, perhaps in the military. Yes, people who are good at following directions and excel at doing so, they like the idea of following the rules of God. Why? Well, it's competition, isn't it? Competition with all those around us. Competition to see who's the best at doing what God wants us to do. And if, well, we win that competition by being better than those around us as following the rules of God, well, we should be rewarded. Rewarded handsomely in this life. And even rewarded eternally in the life to come. Of course, the thing about this rule-following approach to Christians is that it also makes us feel better. It feels better about those around us. Those around us who are not doing so well, who are not succeeding. Those around us who are failing. Those around us who are even suffering. Now, why does rule following make us feel better about such suffering people? Well, it gives us the reason as to why it is they are the way they are. Why are they suffering? They broke the rules. Ha! So we don't need to help them or do anything for them because, well, we followed the rules and they broke the rules. So that's that. Of course, here's where the parable of the Good Samaritan comes in. And we must note to begin with those who passed by the man, those who did not help him. You know, they weren't just Israelites. Yes, those who passed by the man were not just Israelites, but they were special Israelites. Chosen Israelites, descendants of Aaron, the first, a Levite, in charge of matters of worship of the temple in Jerusalem, tasked with following all the rules and regulations of the book of Leviticus. The second man was not only a Levite, but a special Levite, a priest, a descendant of Zadok, the first high priest after the building of the Temple of Solomon, who had sided with King David when David's son Absalom rebelled against him. Yes, it was only the priests, those special Levites, who were allowed to enter the temple into the holy place with the offering for the altar of incense and the oil for the lamps and the bread for the table of showbread. Yes, in passing by the beaten man on the road, the Levite and the extra special Levite, the priest, were undoubtedly following their rules to the letter. So it is the Samaritan, who helps the man. Who helps the man in the true spirit of the promise of Abraham. What's that spirit, so to speak? Well, it's a motivation that flows from the idea that we in the seed of Abraham, in the promised seed, in the promise of the Christ, in the fulfilled promise of Christ, yes, it's a motivation that stems from a faith in Christ which believes that since we ourselves have everything that we need already to live right now, this moment, in Christ, we can help our neighbor who needs our help. In other words, we can serve our neighbor in love. The Apostle Paul, he summed up the situation this way. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. Faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. So what do we hear there? What was the purpose? The purpose of the law given by Moses or given to Moses? Well, it was in general a set of rules to keep the children of Israel from killing each other and going off in all sorts of ways religiously. But even more so, the law was given to demonstrate to each and every one of us that we truly do need the promise. And not only do we need the promise, that is the promised Savior, Jesus, the Savior from sin, we need to live daily in that promise, that is daily in Christ, the law demonstrating constantly our desperate need for a promised life. Yet when we live according to the promise, according to faith in Christ, well, what happens? We can't so easily dismiss our neighbor. Our neighbor who is not so good at following the rules. Our neighbor who often finds himself half dead beside the road. And living according to the promise, we cannot look at our own success and well-being as the direct result of our great capacity to follow the law. It's not that the two are unrelated. They are. It's just that our living under the law does not always produce the same result from one person to another. Take, for example, a pious Christian in rural Russia or the sticks of Nigeria or the plains of China. Are they driving around in a luxury SUV? Are they enjoying air conditioning and forced air heating, even electricity and running water? They have a fast internet connection, all the conveniences of the world. Of course not. And yet they may be and often are extremely pious. Still, they are provided for. No, the law of God is used by the Holy Spirit chiefly to expose who we truly are and what we truly need. And that is the promise given way before the law was written on two tablets of stone by the finger of God and given to Moses on Mount Sinai. So what does that mean? We abandon the law? Of course not. Means we understand the law and its purposes. We understand the law and its purposes and its usages. In confirmation, we learned that the law works as a curb, that is, to keep communities of people in check so they can live together in relative peace without killing each other. It's a political use of the law. We also learned that the law works like a mirror showing us our sin. That's the chief use of the law. That's what's called the theological use. That noted by Paul, here referenced a few moments ago. Of course, the third use of the law is that of rule, that is of teaching us who are living daily in the promise of Christ what we are to do, and that's called the educational use of the law. The priest and the Levite, perhaps, were thinking they were following the first table of law, the first three commandments, by passing by the beaten man in order to get to the temple in Jerusalem. But they were doing so by breaking the second table. That is the last seven commandments. That is, they were not loving their neighbor as themselves. So we live in the promise seed, that is faith in Christ. And by living in that faith, we understand the law for what it is. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.